Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Joey Valcarcel.
Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you from the subject, passion for his presence. And if you brought your Bible, I want to take you to Exodus chapter 34. And we're going to read a story of one of my favorite Old Testament Bible characters, and his name is Moses. And I'm going to show my age right now, but I grew up watching Charlton Heston's The Ten Commandments, and Moses was like one of my heroes, right? And are there any Lord of the Rings fans out there? Okay. My favorite one was The Two Towers, the second one, and in that one at the very beginning, Gandalf comes along, and he takes his staff, and he slams it on the ground and says, "You shall not pass," and it's a really cool moment. That ain't got nothing on Moses. When Moses stood over there, you know, and he said to Israel, he said, "Be still and see the salvation of the Lord." And the pillar of fire came down and stood between Israel and the Egyptian army. He held the staff out over the water. You just can't compare it to Jesus. Come on, somebody, right? And so Moses is one of my favorite Bible characters in the Old Testament. And, you know, I think there's a lot that we can learn from him. Especially as it relates to having a relationship with God. And Moses had some pretty incredible, I mean, just absolutely incredible interactions with God. God comes along one time and he kind of challenges the nation. He says, "To which one of you do I speak with face to face like I do with Moses as a man speaks to his friend?" It's like, whoa. And so that was Moses's, you know, relationship with God. And you know what, let's, the truth be told, we have all been welcomed into God's presence to have an intimate and a personal relationship with him. I'll never forget a few years back, my wife and I have now been married for 10 years, 10 plus years. My, how time flies. I reached the decade. Amen. God's good. And we lived off of Box Springs in the 60 freeway right there, kind of on the edge of Moreno Valley and Riverside, if you're familiar with the area. And so anyways, Box Springs is kind of like just one road. And so every morning when I would go to work, or anytime I'd leave the apartment, the house, whatever you want to call it, all right, I'd turn a left there, and there was only one way to get on the freeway. So I stop at the stoplight, and right there in front of me was the Moreno Valley Mountain, all right? And this particular morning, I remember that it was kind of cloudy, it was cloudy, but right at the top of the mountain, it was like these two clouds had come together, and right where they were coming together, it just seemed like there's this hole, there's just this clarity that all the rest of the mountain was kind of covered, but you could almost just see the top. And so I'm just sitting there in my car, and I'm thinking to myself, and how many realize that God is watching your thoughts, and he's watching what you're doing? And so I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, man, how cool would that have been to climb the mountain with Moses and go up into the presence of God? And before I even finished the thought, I heard God speak to me, "You can come if you want to." I was blown away. And I thought to myself, I better get out this car right now and start climbing this Moval Mountain, because you don't turn God down when he sends out an invite, right? Right? But you know what? If I could be honest with you, somewhere in my thinking, now I knew better than this and I would never teach or preach this, but somehow in my thinking, you can tell by that thought that I had concluded that, you know what, an intimate, personal, supernatural relationship with God was reserved for the few. And for the special. And I think what God was saying to me and reminding me and making sure that I didn't go down the path that, hey, that God has set the stage. He has paid the price with the very blood of Jesus. Now the Bible says that we can enter in by a new and living way. Come on, somebody. The information, or I should say the invitation, has been disseminated to you and to me. And now it is our call and our decision whether or not we're going to accept, and we're going to say, "God, here I am. I'm here to pursue you. I'm here to seek you. I'm here to know you, and I want you to know me." Amen. Is anybody in the house tonight? You know, I believe that every child of God ought to have a burning passion and desire. You might even say desperation for the presence of God. Come on, somebody. Somebody came up to me recently, and they're like, "Man," and of course they meant it as a compliment, and I took it that way. And you know, but they said, "You were born to worship. You were just born to worship God." Oh, thank you. You know, I appreciate that. God bless you. And we went on about our way, right? But I found out a long time ago that the presence of God was like nothing else. And once I had had a taste, I was like, "God, that's all I want for the rest of my life. In fact, for the rest of eternity, you are the one that's going to satisfy me. And I just happened to find out that praise and worship was a vehicle that led me into the presence of God. Come on, somebody. That's why I praise the way I do. That's why I worship the way I do, because I know what's at the end of my praise, or might I dare say, at the beginning of my praise is God's presence waiting to meet up with me and to meet up with you. And so, you know, again, we ought to have a passion. We ought to have a desire. We ought to have a desperation in our hearts and our lives for the very presence of God. There is nothing like it in the entire world. Can I go further just to challenge you tonight? We're supposed to be going to Exodus 34, but we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Amen. Can I challenge you tonight and say that your desperation, the level of your desperation, your hunger for God's presence is really an indication of how healthy you are spiritually? Let me say that again. The level of your desperation, your hunger, your appetite for the presence of God really shows how healthy that you are spiritually. Do you find it any coincidence at all that when you go to the doctor, one of the questions they will frequently ask you is, how's your appetite? How's your appetite? Why do they ask that? Because healthy people have an appetite. And the same is true spiritually. Healthy people have an appetite for God's presence. Yeah, how many of you out there like to eat? I'll raise my hand first. I just like to eat. Now, why do we eat? We eat because we have a need, don't we? If you don't eat, you're going to die. Pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward, right? But how many of you are happy that you have a need to eat? That's me. We just like to eat. And the same is, you know what? That's so descriptive of how, you know, our passion should be for the presence of God. How many realize that God's presence is vital? But then God's presence is also wonderful. And so either way you cut it, you ought to have a presence, you ought to have a desire and a desperation for the very presence of God. It's absolutely vital, it's absolutely important, and it really shows how healthy you are spiritually. I mean, after all, aren't you tired of religion? Aren't you tired of the same old, coming to church every week, paying your religious respects, and then leaving and going about your life, the rest of your life, and we have so compartmentalized God and God's presence in our life? Aren't you tired of religion? God's presence is the thing that's going to get you out of religion and into relationship. That's what I'm trying to say to you today. Aren't you tired of philosophy? Aren't you tired of theory? Aren't you tired of hearsay? Aren't you sick and tired? I know I am sick and tired of the opinions of men. I want to know God for myself. How about you? I had a family member one time, and they were dating this unsaved person. And so anytime, well, not anytime, I knew how to, you know, kind of take it easy and when to go hard. But I would try to witness to this individual and tell them about God. And finally, one day he kind of spoke up and he said, "How do you know that God is real? Or better yet, how do you know that your God is the right God? What about Hare Krishna? What about Muhammad? What about, you know, Buddha? What about these other religions? What about those?" And I said, "I don't have to try those because I've met Jesus Christ. I've met him for myself. And I know him, and so you can't tell me otherwise." And I found his word to be true. And so as we get into God's presence, all of a sudden, we begin to get to know him. I love what Paul said. He said this in Philippians chapter 3. He said, "Oh, that I might know him personally and intimately. I want to become acquainted with the wonders of his person. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. I even want to be conformed to his death, that by some means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." I want to know him in such a way that I don't have my own righteousness, but I have the righteousness that comes from God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I've counted everything as dung, as loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. I love in the book of Acts, we find the disciples. We'll get to Moses in just a moment, don't worry. But the disciples, the Bible says that these were untrained and untaught men. For those of you out there, you're kind of worried, like, "I don't know if I have the education. I don't know if I'm qualified to carry out the task that is right in front of me." Now, don't get me wrong, because I believe in education. That's why I got my bachelor's degree, and I would love to get my master's, right, Reverend Teresa? We believe in education, right? right? We believe in education, and you ought to get your education. But let's be honest today. In Acts, the disciples, these were untrained and untaught men, but something stood out about them when they got around other people. And the Bible says that they recognized something interesting about these individuals. And that something interesting was this: they could tell that they had been with Jesus. These untaught and untrained men, these guys spoke with authority that untaught and untrained people do not speak with. These guys had a supernatural move of the Spirit of God in their lives. These guys had insight and wisdom and these different things. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. Come on, somebody, we're talking about the presence of God. And so we see this in Paul's life. We see this in the disciples' lives. How about this? We're talking about Moses, right? The Bible says in Psalms that Moses knew God, the children of Israel only knew his acts. What's it trying to say? Psalms 103, you can look it up and read it later. That Moses knew God personally, the children of Israel only knew about God. They knew what he had done. They could tell you, yeah, he put out plagues on Egypt, he delivered us, we went across the Red Sea, but Moses knew God's ways. Moses knew God personally, okay? And so once again, the stage has been set. The price has been paid. The invitation has been disseminated. Now it's up to you and to me to take God at his word and say, God, here I am. I'm seeking your presence. If they could pop up James chapter 4, verse number 8, I want to show you this in scripture. It says this in James chapter 4, verse number 8. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. One more time. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now question. According to that verse, who draws first? Who draws near first? We do. When we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. Now, there are times where God's presence just seems to come, you just come right to you. And it's just all of a sudden, it's right there on your heart. And you're like, wow, I've just stepped into God's presence. I don't even know how I got here. Okay? But that's not the norm. The norm will be you draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In fact, in my life, I found it most frequent. The moment I just start to just as soon as I start to take a step toward him, I can sense God starting to come toward me. Come on, somebody. And so we draw near first. You know what else that tells me? That tells me this, that you and I determine the level of relationship we have with God, not God. You and I determine the level of relationship that we have with God, not God. God has done everything he possibly can, shy of forcing you into his presence. But we know he's a gentleman. He's not going to force us to do anything. It's your call. It's my call. It's your choice. It's my choice. What kind of relationship you and I are going to have with God? If you're not happy with the relationship that you have with God, if I'm not happy with the relationship that I have with God, it's time for me to take some time, evaluate what's going on in my life, and say, what can I do, and how can I make room for God's presence in my life? And as we go throughout life and we grow in this, we're going to find ourselves growing closer and closer to the Lord. And so today, a passion for his presence. You're there in Exodus chapter 34. Let's just go ahead and start with verse number 1. And it says this, and the Lord said to Moses, cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words which were on the first tablets which you broke. Emphasis mine, which you broke. Verse number 2, so be ready in the morning and come up in the morning on Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And before I go any further, I just want to make a little note here. Present yourself to me on the top of the mountain. I don't know about you, but that stirs a holy awe in my heart. I have to go present myself to God. Can you think back far enough when my dad, when I lived at home, when I was a boy, my dad would say, Joey, come see me. And as I came down the stairs or as I was going through the next room, I thought to myself, I hope this is good. Did I make my mom mad? Did I not clean my room? Like, what could this possibly be? Am I going to get caught for what I did a week ago? Right? And the same is true here. Do you realize that when you come before the presence of God, you're coming before Almighty God? We're talking about the one who created the universe, Almighty God. He knows everything. He sees everything. Everything is laid bare before him. Can't hide anything, y'all. It's It's no excuses. We're talking about God. You know what? I think sometimes our approach to God is a little too casual, if I'm honest. We take God for granted and his presence for granted, and we just come any old way that we feel like coming. You know, I thank God we come to a good church where the pastors have taught us, you know, when God's word's going forth and different things are going on in the service, don't get up and move around. God's trying to do something. God's trying to speak to you. How much respect would I hold in your eyes if every time you try to talk to me right in the middle of the conversation, I turned around and walked away? We're so casual sometimes in our approach to God, but all of a sudden, when you and I make a point to begin to develop a holy awe in our hearts, we become candidates for having this intimate relationship with God that God wants. In the book of Psalms, chapter 25, verse number 14, it says, "The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant." Oh, perhaps there is a select group of people that can have an intimate relationship with God after all. Oh, an intimate relationship with God is offered to everybody, but only those who get to experience it are those who have a reverence and an honor and a holy awe when they approach God. The secret of the Lord, this Psalms 25, verse number 14 in the King James Version says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him." Very interesting. You cannot have a relationship with God without having a reverential fear of the Lord on your heart and on your life. But that was for free. Let's get to our points. Verse number 4 here, Exodus chapter 34, verse number 4. It says this, "So he," speaking of Moses, "so he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." I like this next part. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" Simply put, God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice. "So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped." First little point I want to throw at you today is this: in his presence, we become acquainted with him. In God's presence, we become acquainted with him. We kind of already covered some of this, right? If you really want to get to know God, you need to get into God's presence. A personal, intimate interaction with him in God's presence. That's where you're going to become acquainted and you're going to get to know him. Now, let's be clear today, because the primary way you're going to get to know God is through his word. One more time. The primary way that you're going to get to know God is through his word. That's where it's at. His word is going to teach you about his character. His word is going to talk to you about what God's will is for your life. His word is a record of who he is and what he does. Okay? And that's the primary way we're going to receive revelation knowledge of who he is. Okay? Now let me say something else, because if your understanding or if your experience with God does not line up with scripture, can I help you out tonight? Throw it out. Because what God has written, what God has said in his word goes in accordance with who he is and the kind of experiences that we will have. And so if you're having a different kind of experience, or if you're having a different kind, coming to a different kind of conclusion about God than what the word of God has to say, I need to help you out tonight. You need to throw that out. I've talked to young people throughout my time here and at The Rock and even before, and youth and young adults, and coming and talking to Pastor Joe, God spoke this to me, and Pastor Joe, I had this kind of experience, and Pastor Joe, I had this kind of vision. I mean, you'd be surprised the different kinds of things that people will come and tell you that God spoke to them and that God did with them. And the moment they start talking, I know that ain't God at all, because that doesn't line up with the word of God. That is not God's character. And so let me help you out. Throw it out. Throw it out and don't get lost. Don't get lost and go off the deep end with these different kinds of, you know, experiences that humanity can have. Stick with God's word, okay? But let me say this, Because in my life, when it comes to the revelation of who God is through his word, it's been the presence of God that has come along and confirmed that. It has been the presence of God that has come along and solidified in my heart what his word has said. It has been the very presence of God that caused the pages of the Bible to leap off the pages and become alive and become real to me and become applicable to me. Come on, it's even been the presence of God that after I've learned who he is, has reminded me of who he is. We need the presence of God, and that's what the presence of God is for, to help us become acquainted with who he is. And the presence of God, when it comes upon your life, all of a sudden you remember that he is wonderful. You remember that he is love. You remember that he is faithful and trustworthy and in control. If I could steal some words from Isaiah, you remember that he's a wonderful counselor, that he's a mighty God, that he is the Prince of Peace. That he's an everlasting father because of God's presence coming in and on our lives. And so in his presence, we become acquainted with him. Let's read on. Exodus chapter 34. I'm just going to throw the point at you real quick and then we'll read it. In God's presence, we get our needs met. Now I'm going to have you skip all the way to verse number 27. Okay? Verse number 27. It says, what I skipped here, God essentially, right, Moses has gone up and he's got these tablets with him and God's going to write down his commandments and his ways on these tablets, all right? And so the first part that we read here, we see God introducing himself and proclaiming the name of the Lord. And so we realize from that little portion of scripture that, hey, in God's presence, we get acquainted with him. Okay, now in Exodus 34, 27, 28, we're going to find that in God's presence, we get our needs met. Watch this. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Verse number 28. So he, speaking to Moses, was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. Did you catch what just happened right here? Moses was on the mountain without food or water for 40 days and 40 nights. I would not recommend that unless you're face to face with God, right? We know biologically, we know because scientifically, a person cannot live without food or water for 40 days and 40 nights. But when you got the presence of God, God's presence meets our needs. How many realize today that God's presence meets our needs spiritually? God's presence meets our needs spiritually. I'm just going to throw this at you. Love what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse number 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He's talking about a spiritual meeting of our needs. Does that make sense? You follow me? You follow me today? God meets our needs spiritually. Actually, it's kind of funny because Pastor Dan and I were talking with the city planner, not a city planner of San Bernardino. I'm not going to tell you where either. But it was funny because in this conversation, we asked the city planner, hey, you know, what kind of unique challenges, what kind of, issues does your particular city have? And, you know, and he's like, none. We don't have any problems. We don't have any issues. This is a wonderful city. It was like, you are the most ignorant person on planet Earth. But it reminded me of Revelation chapter 3, verse number 17. Because you say I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing. You not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich and clothed in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. God meets our spiritual needs. How many realize today that life is more than food and the body is more than clothing, Jesus said. And God meets our spiritual needs. Oh, he also meets the needs of our soul. I love Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I don't know about you, but there's been some times where my soul was drugged through the mud, where my soul was exhausted, where my soul was tired, where my soul was ready to give up. And then all of a sudden the presence of the Lord came on and I found, you know what? I do have what it takes to carry on. I've got the strength. I've got the hope because God is with me. Because God meets the needs of our soul. How many realize today that God's presence also meets our physical needs? How many can testify today that when you got into God's presence, you received the direction you needed, and by following God's presence, it led you to provision? Come on, somebody. How many of you can testify today that God's presence, you got into God's presence and you found the strength, you found the hope, you found the peace that you needed to carry on, and it led you to God's provision? How many can testify that the presence of the Lord, when it came upon your life, you got the witty and invention, you got the idea, you got the insight, come on somebody, that led to God's blessing, and God through his presence met even your physical needs? It's amazing. It's amazing what God's presence will accomplish in your life. And so I've got good news for everybody today. God is all that you need. And when you make a point to get into God's presence, you're going to find yourself blessed. And here's our last point for tonight. All right, in God's presence, we experience transformation. So what have we said today? In God's presence, we get acquainted with God. In God's presence, we get our needs met. And in God's presence, we find this wonderful thing called transformation. Now, I know I skipped through quite a few verses here, and I kind of just, you know, for time's sake, as I was going through this, I realized I've got like a 50-minute message. I'm going to have to cut this thing down. So I encourage you to read Exodus chapter 34 yourself. But basically what's happening in Exodus 34 is Moses is meeting with God, and this is the second time. Okay, the first time that Moses met with God, or I should say the first time that he met with God after he had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, you understand? Okay, they have now crossed over the Red Sea, and they have made an encampment there at Mount Sinai, and so there's this whole, and you can read about it in Exodus 19 and 20, it's incredible. And so basically what happens is Moses ends up at the top of the mountain, and the children of Israel, while they were invited to experience God, end up at the foot of the mountain, not you know, accepting God's invitation, essentially, or drawing back from God's invitation. So while Moses is up on the mountain, he receives these 10 commandments, and he's up there for quite some time. In fact, he's up there so long that the children of Israel are like, we don't know what's happened to this guy, so let's throw a party. That makes no sense, but. And so they make this calf of gold. They start to worship this calf of gold, and the Bible says that they started to party, and they threw off restraint. In other words, they were out of control. And God knows what, God only knows what they were doing, okay? The Bible doesn't give us too much specifics, but these I can only imagine, and I'm sure you could too. So Moses starts coming down the mountain with these tablets, and you know, if we can have the band come up here, and let me get the keyboardist to play lightly behind me. But Moses comes down the mountain, and as he beholds what's going on, he gets pretty upset. So he takes these tablets and he throws them at the foot of the mountain, and they break. Okay, and that's why in Exodus 34, verse 1, we read, hey, we're going to do this whole thing over because you broke the first ones. Remember we read that? Okay, and this first time that Moses, you know, gets these commandments and comes down the mountain and breaks them, this is a picture for all of us to understand something. And that is this, that our lives are doomed to be in conflict with God's ways. And we are, if you will, doomed to break God's laws. We're born with a sinful nature, you understand, right? From the day that we were born. In fact, King David said, he said, God, I was born in iniquity. God, it's almost like I can't help myself. I was just, I'm all over the place. And now that I see your law, whew, I'm not even getting close. How many realize the book of James tells us if you break even the least of the commandments, you've broken the whole thing. God, that sounds kind of harsh. Why is that? Because the whole commandment is, it's a whole thing. You can't like obey part of it. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you, thank you, Pastor. You can't pick and choose. It's the whole of how life is supposed to work. And if you break it, you know, if I break my leg, the whole thing doesn't work. You follow me? Even though it's only broken in one part. And so we are doomed to break God's laws. And so here he comes, and these laws are broken. And that's a picture for us. And so what happens, though, is here's the good news, is that Moses goes up the mountain a second time. And he goes up there with God, and he takes these tablets of stone, and God writes his commandments, and God writes his ways on these tablets of stone. And Moses comes back down the mountain, Except this time there's something a little bit different. Moses' face is shining. Moses' face is shining with the glory of God. That did not happen the first time. And I want to read this to you in Exodus chapter 34, beginning in verse number 29. And it says, "Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him, God. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near." Verse number 33, "And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face." He didn't quite understand what had happened. God was trying to say something to everybody. You're not gonna conform to external rules, but you're gonna be transformed as you get in my presence and behold me just as Moses did. And for those of us who are here tonight, and perhaps you have challenges in your life and you have issues and you realize, hey man, God, I'm not cutting in this area or not cutting that, I've got good news for you, that if you'll go ahead and get in the presence of God, if you'll stop focusing on trying to do what's right so much, and you'll start focusing on just, let me just get with God, let me get into God's word, let me pray, let me turn on some praise and worship, let me seek the presence of God. As you begin to find yourself in the presence of God, God's presence will transform your life as a result of being in an environment where he is, and you'll find that other stuff beginning to lose its power and beginning to lose its hold on your life. And just so you know that I'm not just teaching some thing that is just in the Old Testament and not for us today. I remember I shared this with some people not too long ago, and somebody's like, "Oh, that's Old Testament." Well, let me just show this to you, because this is in the New Testament too. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 12, it says, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away." What was passing away was the way of, hey, here's an external rule. Here's a bunch of laws that you have to keep, that you're destined to break. That was what was passing away. Verse number 14, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ." Skip down to verse number 18. Watch what it says. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." As we behold him, church, as we view, as we seek out and find ourselves in God's presence, something happens. We begin to see his glory. And sometimes, just like Moses, we may not even recognize it, but God's glory begins to transform our lives. And we find ourselves climbing to the heights that God intended all along. God did not call you for the muck. God did not call you for the mire. God did not call you to addiction. God did not call you to stumble, to be beaten from pillar to post, back and forth, doing with the same struggles that you've always had, that your parents had before you and their parents before them. God called you to a victorious life in Christ. And my friend, if you want to step into it, this is the day to step into God's presence and let his glory, let his presence, let God transform your life. And that's what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians, that as we encounter the presence of the Lord, that we are going to find transformation. Now, I asked the band to prepare this song. And so I'm going to invite everybody in this moment, since we talked about the presence of God, to engage with God tonight. And this song just simply says, "God, set a fire in my soul. One that I can't contain, one that I can't control." How do we start tonight? We started by saying, hey, you need a passion. You need a desire. You need a desperation. And today I believe that God wants to touch your heart and wants to touch your life and wants to begin to stir in you this passion and this desire so that you actually seek out God's presence. Come on, somebody, and you experience the blessings that we talked about today. Are you ready? He said, if you'll draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Right? So come on, stand to your feet. Get your heart in a position where you can, you need to close your eyes. You need to raise your hands. If you need to come to the altar. But I want you to seek God's presence tonight and ask him to stir a hunger and a desire in your heart. And I believe that God's going to do a work. So Father, we thank you. We thank you that your word has gone forth. God, we thank you for what your word has said, for what your word has promised. Lord, that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And Father, we are expecting to see in our lives the very thing that we read in your word. God, that we'll become acquainted with you. God, there are some people here today that have forgotten who you are. God, there are some people here today who don't know some of the different characteristics and aspects of who you are. But today, God, I ask that through your presence, you begin to show them and you begin to lead them and you begin to guide them. Father, today I ask that your presence would begin to meet needs in this house, God. Lord, we ask that you would satisfy the hungry soul. God, that you'd make your presence so real that people would begin to say, you know what? I've made enough room and enough time for these things that don't satisfy, that are not really helping me move forward. But today, God, I found your presence is all that I need. In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, God, are pleasures forevermore. And God, we thank you for transformation in this place. God, we thank you for breaking yokes. God, we thank you that as we behold in a glass the glory of the Lord, that we are being transformed into the same image. Lord, not by our own strength, not by our own might. The Bible says it's not by strength, it is not by might, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord. So God, this night, by your spirit, God, I ask you for transformation in our hearts and our lives, and a turning around and a change, Lord, stepping into new dimensions and newness of life in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's sing.
So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place. thank you, Lord, pour it out.
Come on, if you got something good from God today, give him the praise that he deserves. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We bless you. And thank you, Lord, that your presence will go with us everywhere that we go. When we wake our head up off the bed in the morning, when we lay our head down at night, Father God, as we go to work, as we are with the family, Father, as we are at work, no matter in the doctor's office, no matter where we are, God, we thank you that your presence goes with us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.